This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Mike Pesca with a question for you, Madeline.
A question for me.
Have you been to any of the animated films out this year?
None. Not a one. Although I know that Happy Feet is, what, number one at the box office?
3 weeks straight. And that got me to wondering, what's the effect of so many children's films? Not the effect on the box office. We know why they're out there. They make money. I've been thinking about the sheer number of films and how they kind of take a cherished childhood ritual and turn it into just another commodity. This year, there'll be a dozen theatrically released animated children's movies.
One a month on average. Well, doesn't it seem like when you and I were wee ones that there was only one a year being released?
Yes. In fact, I have a statistic. Disney released Snow White, its first animated film, in 1937. And didn't hit number 12, Cinderella, until 1950. And back then, they were the only game in town. The scarcity of those films was one reason they almost all became essential parts of American childhood, and that's according to historian and film critic Charles Solomon.
A Disney film in particular was a really special event that was good for 2 weeks of good behavior, you know, before you could get taken to it, and then you'd spend the next 2 weeks whining to go again because you probably wouldn't see that again for 7 years.
These days, when a child sees an animated film like this one, The Wild, he could be excused for a certain lack of wonderment.
Everybody, stay calm.
Good. Or more accurately, maybe the child is wondering, didn't I see this already?
Yo, boo!
And wasn't it called Madagascar? Same plot, a lion, a giraffe, their friends escape Central Park Zoo. Same tired gags. Here are the crocodiles of Brooklyn accents.
Whoa, you sent them down the Broadway culvert?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
They get lost at the sewage treatment plant!
It's sort of like the pigeons in Good Feathers from the Animaniacs TV show, or the shark that Robert De Niro voiced in Shark Tale. And with so many movies, today's parents are now in a position their parents never were in. They have to choose. I caught up with Lori Paulson as she chased her 3-year-old around a Culver City, California playground.
I think there's just so much out there that as a parent, you can really overload them if you take them to every movie that they hear about and everything that they want to see.
And what if they choose incorrectly? Well, Nell Minow, who's a consumer advocate but also a movie reviewer called The Movie Mom, says a bad movie can be a learning experience.
It's never too early to sort of hone their critical faculties, and I love that moment, the little light bulb moment with kids where they start to learn the difference between good and bad and why Dougal is not as good as, say, Chicken Little or Flushed Away. What is it about them? And to get them talking about it, turn them into film critics.
Oh, great, an 8-year-old Ebert on your hands. Vegetables, thumbs down. Minow is advocating finding the silver lining by teaching your kids to discern the good from the bad. And it's true, this couldn't be done by most of today's parents when they were kids. But that's only because Disney almost never made a bad animated film. And while we're complaining, even when there's a film you love for your child, like Jacqueline Stewart, who loved Cars, you know you'll eventually disappoint your child when you draw the line at the 40th piece of licensed merchandise.
Cars underwear and Cars cups, and it's just like, you know, let's break and do something else, shall we? Or have some individuality. You know, you don't even know which kid's shoes are yours because each kid has the car shoes.
The latest phenomenon in the cinema, and therefore on the store shelves, is Happy Feet. The film's director, George Miller, puts Pinocchio in his top 10 of all-time favorite movies and says Dumbo's not far behind. He says he only hoped he could channel just a bit of the depth and passion of the great Disney films.
A lot of the movie making today, perhaps people don't reach for the levels that I think Disney did. And I think it's like all other form of storytelling or movie making. The good ones will endure and the bad ones will become invisible.
Or maybe the opposite of invisible. So omnipresent, like those inoffensive seascapes they hang on the walls of every Holiday Inn, that we lose the ability to even notice them. One mother who had the misfortune of being suckered into a movie called Barnyard told me she was struck by the thought, this isn't just a bad movie. This is an abject lesson in the brevity of childhood. Here she was watching male cows with udders drink milk and act drunk. Ugh. And maybe there's something about Barnyard's subtitle. Barnyard, the original party animals. It seems strangely familiar.
He's Spuds McKenzie, Bud Light's original party animal.
That's Spuds. He is the party.
Kids, shut off the TV, turn off the DVD. Have I ever read you the story of the three bears?